Morning.
Morning.
I missed you last week. I hope you missed me a little bit. We went down to see our dysfunctional children and our functional grandchildren. If you're visiting with us, we're glad to have you. My name is Farrah Griggs. I'm visiting with you. 6 months now. I'm beginning to feel a little less like a visitor. We are in a Bible study, a sermon series about the well, what's it about? We're in number 7 today. We're going to talk about proutus, gentleness, once I get my breath back. But for now, let's go read that scripture for the 7th time, I think it is. We're in Galatians 5, verse 22. You should know it by heart by now. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. These are the words of God. And may He add His blessing to this partial reading of His holy word. Let's go to God in prayer. Good morning, Father. Thank you for being here with us. We know you're in Israel and Gaza and so many places around the globe. Where you're needed so deeply, but you're needed right here this morning as well. We are people who have the Word, who read the Word, and yet who need your help to follow the Word. Help us this morning. As the song we sang says, yet not I, but through Christ in me, let's find your Word for us today together. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. Proutus, P-R-A-U-T-E-S, the Greek word for gentleness. This is going to be a short message. Although if you go to the Bible and do a word search, you're going to find gentleness so many times, you'll get tired of it. It's huge. I've questioned sometimes why it's number 7 on Paul's list. Seems like it should be higher. Cindy and I used to have a golden retriever named Sadie. She's gone now, and I miss her. Now we have Molly. Molly's still a puppy at 80 pounds and very young and very strong. But let's talk about Sadie for a minute. I love to watch Sadie. Cindy will tell you that Sadie was her dog. All our dogs are Cindy's dogs. My daughter Ellie would probably say that Sadie was really her dog. The truth of the matter is, and for those of you who own pets, you know where I'm coming from, it's really more accurate to say that we were Sadie's family. But that's not the point. The point is that I love to watch Sadie, particularly around young animals and young people. Sadie was about 75 pounds of energy and she could play rough, but when she was exposed to kittens or babies or most any kind of newborn, she would just go right into her mothering instinct. She'd get down on all fours. Now you've seen plenty of animals do that. They get in play stance with their butt up and their paws down, She got all the way down and her tail wagging went into overdrive. She just wanted to lick and cuddle. She got so intense and so happy, it made me wish I had a tail of my own to wag. When a defenseless creature was present, our big, strong, playful dog would become gentle as a lamb. You know, I think people act very little differently from that. Watch a mother of a newborn child. She instinctively holds and protects her baby, letting it find security in her arms. You don't really have to teach a young mother how to hold her baby, do you? Fathers do okay. Perhaps it's just in our nature to become softer when it's required. And little people and little animals do that to us. Gentleness. William Barclay, the Scottish theologian that I love to quote, asserts that in the New Testament, gentleness has three main meanings. First, it means being submissive to God's will. I don't know about you, but submissive is just not one of my favorite words. I'm a guy. I played ball. You learn how to be assertive. You learn how to look after number one, take care of yourself, take care of your family. Where is submissive in all that? Well, it's in the Bible and it's all over the Bible. Part of what we have to learn as human beings is to be submissive to God's will. And that's part of what gentleness means. Second, it means teachable. Teachable. That means you don't get to have so much confidence you can't learn something new. You're teachable. And Barclay says that most often of all, it means being considerate. Now there's a word that's out of vogue. At least if you get on the internet. Being submissive to God's will, being teachable, and being considerate, all part of being gentle. I also think that gentleness has a meaning distinctly its own. It starts as a feeling, and then it sort of projects itself as a behavior, don't you think? You have to have this feeling before you act gentle. You feel gentle. You can see it in the eyes, or you could see it in the eyes of my dog, Sadie, and in the eyes of any young parent cradling a newborn. I wasn't going to bring this in, but I just have to. I can remember a year or so ago, we were in Pennsylvania and at a church there, and we had lost Cricket, who was another dog in our lives. And a few months later, we went up north in Pennsylvania and we picked up Molly. Molly was about 10 or 12 weeks old. She was about this big, and it was all fluff. She's a Bernese Mountain Dog. And she'd never been away from her mother. We drove her home. We had about 100 miles to come home, an hour and a half or two. And that puppy got up here and the nape of Cindy's neck. Her eyes were about that big until she got comfortable nuzzling into Cindy's neck. And Cindy's eyes were about that big too, looking at me. What have I got? And they stayed that way the whole trip. I don't think either one of them moved. She had a crick in her neck for 2 days. Gentleness is not just a state of mind, it's a state of being. Now I want you to think about gentleness. You've been gentle before. Think about when you were gentle for some reason. Think about how you felt. Gentleness is instinctive for us in many situations. It's a good feeling, and we know it's the right way to be, don't we? But then we walk away, and the gentleness begins to melt away. Most of us seem to be able to summon it for a season or a moment, maybe an hour. But we don't wear it as a way of meeting life. Now, there are exceptions, and I've met some, and you have too. And those are the people we remember, don't we? So-and-so is so gentle in her speech, in his walk, in the way they communicate. And Paul, in telling us about the fruit of the Spirit, doesn't mean it for us, for it to be something we summon on occasion. He means for it to be part of who we are and how we present to others. The book of Proverbs tells us, we read this a while ago, a gentle tongue is a tree of life. Now, there's a metaphor for you. A gentle tongue, an organ this big, is a tree of life. I think the implication there is from something so small can come so much power for good. A tree of life. When Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, he characterizes his stay among them as gentle, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. That's in 1 Thessalonians 2, if you're making notes about gentleness scriptures. In his letter to Timothy, he mentions gentleness as a needed character trait for elders. Now, who do you elect here as elders? CPAs, lawyers, doctors, Indian chiefs, leaders. Have you ever looked on their resume to see if you've included gentle? That's what Paul recommends. And he contrasts it with being quarrelsome. This is in Titus, excuse me, First Timothy 3. So being part of gentle is to not be quarrelsome. I think I failed. She laughed. Paul tells Titus to be gentle and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Again, something that seems to be failing in our society these days. Be gentle and show perfect courtesy toward all people. James characterizes wisdom from above as pure and peaceable and gentle. Pure, peaceable, and gentle. That's wisdom. Peter challenges us to be gentle to the unjust as well as the just. Now, there's a reach. But it's in 1 Peter 2:18, be as gentle to the people you don't know and don't like as you are to the people you do know and do like. And later he invites us to make our adornment not external, but rather to cultivate hearts with the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. The first five books of the Old Testament are called the Pentateuch, which means five. They're also called the Law, for they contain not only the Ten Commandments, but also the various laws and regulations that accompany those commandments from Mount Sinai. And traditionally, the author has been thought to be Moses, although 20th century scholarship and later has argued that without reaching any final conclusions. Well, anyway, whether or not he wrote the books, Moses is certainly one of the most prominent characters of these books. And in the final chapters of Deuteronomy, God comes to Moses, excuse me, and tells him his fate. After 40 years Now that's a career. 40 years of leading God's people and preparing them for the next step. Moses is going to have to watch from a distance. He is not allowed to enter the promised land. So he will watch the event from a mountaintop. And God gives Moses the words for a song. And the entire 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy records that song. Moses spoke the words of the song to the people of Israel before they crossed the Jordan. Contained within it is a verse on teaching. And God, through Moses, declares this, Deuteronomy 32:2, "May my teaching," that's God, "may my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, like gentle rain upon the tender grass, and like showers upon the herb, for I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God." Teaching as gentle as dew on tender grass. You ever had a teacher like that? What a poetic way to describe the teaching of our Lord. Gentle. It goes with grandmothers and Sunday lunches with family. Do we do that anymore? My children are spread all over the place. Now I know Darren, he flies to the Shenandoah Valley just to have lunch with his son. I can remember rice and gravy, green beans with fatback, fried chicken, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, growing up. And some conversations I weren't supposed to hear, wasn't supposed to hear. But that's gentle, isn't it? Thinking about that sort of thing. Gentle goes with infants and puppies. It goes with parents of newborns. It's the softness in our eyes and the tenderness in our touch. It's the way we treat those who are infirm or weak or small or very old or very young. And yet, we see nothing in the Bible about having to qualify to receive gentleness. In fact, we see quite the opposite. When we look at these passages, we see what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to act. We see nothing about the objects of that gentleness. It's about what we are required to do. The very act of being gentle is an end in itself. It's part of the attitude of those who would be soldiers in the army of God. I was in the military. I carried a sidearm. You think that's worth a flip in God's army? Of course not. We are to be armed with gentleness. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness is one of those essential fruits in Paul's basket of righteousness, and it needs to be part of who we are and how we handle life. Well, we've heard from about everyone, haven't we? We've heard from God through the song of Moses. We've heard from Paul and James and Peter. Before we leave this subject, let's look at one more line from Scripture. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus has finished the Sermon on the Mount, and he's begun the second of five discourses to be found in that Gospel. He's engaged in teaching in the cities of the region of Galilee. He makes it clear that not all who hear will understand. He invites his audiences to trust him, to look beyond the historical facts of who he seems to be, Because he's way more than that kid that came out of Nazareth. And also, apparently, where he comes from, he invites those who have ears to hear, a phrase often repeated by Jesus in various contexts, to come and receive the message that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That those who are oppressed by the burden of religious legalism can now have their rest. I come from a deep Presbyterian background. I've been Presbyterian most of my life. In the latter stages of it, I have finally come to understand that being Presbyterian is one way of being Christian. It actually is not an end unto itself. I remember having some elder some years ago say, "Farrah, we're Presbyterians." And it dawned on me that he missed the mark. Presbyterians have a book of order, 438 pages. Reckon you could find order in 438 pages? Now, I love being Presbyterian. It's okay. But we sort of cornered the market on legalism from time to time. And that is not what Jesus is about. He wants that kind of people to find their rest. And where is their rest? Where is our rest in this world of taxes and rules and regulations and laws and deadlines? Their rest, as is ours, is in that man from Galilee. Son of man and Son of God. It's never happened before. It never will happen again. Fully divine. Fully man. He promised them and he promises us rest for our souls. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." He says that his yoke is easy and his burden light. He says to take him on as our way of life. And then he says in Matthew 11:29, "For I am gentle he is you know he is proutus gentle he's like that newness of puppy breath, the softness of a baby's skin, the tenderness of dew on new grass, as God reminded us through Moses. He is the Lamb. He is all of those things. And so much more. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he is our Savior. So, come now. I want you to bow your heads. Close your eyes. It's okay. Go ahead, I'm going to do it too. I want you to feel him. At your side, right now, he's here. Find the rest for your soul that only the gentleness of his spirit can bring. For his yoke is easy, and his burden is so light. For he is gentle, and he loves us. Say it with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, help us to feel the weightlessness and the freedom that comes from our submission to you. Help us to be taught by you. Help us learn from you to be considerate to everyone and everything. And we'll give you all the glory. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.